Cooper comes up, hits it.
Yeah!
Oh my God! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fleming!
Bogleach.
There's the goal!
Richie!
Hello, I'm Mark Benstead, and this is the Official Scotland Podcast. This is the second episode of the show that tries to give you some insight from within and around the Scotland camp. Today, we reflect on the 1-1 draw with Canada at Easter Road. Our base for this show is once again the Scotland Team Hotel. We've moved west from Edinburgh and are now safely within the confines of Mar Hall, just west of Glasgow. The team have just been having breakfast in the room round from us. Training falls a little bit later this morning as preparation steps up a gear for that game with Slovenia on Sunday. And my guests for this episode are once again Danny Cause from the Talking Boars podcast, Grant Russell of STV, and of course former Scotland defender Stephen McManus, among 26 caps for his country. We'll get to the game against Canada in just a second, but Mick, tell us why you're here as part of your pro licence.
The lads are here as the new group of the candidates for the pro licence for this year, which is good. We're looking forward to it. So this is the kind of first kind of tester, if you like, of being around the international camp, not as a player, but as a future coach or manager, whatever the path I decide to go down. So I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, it'll be a wee bit flatter than anticipated by the result last night, but the positive thing is that there's the big game, the big ones on Sunday. So we're looking forward to being around it and see how it pans out.
Simple question.
Yes.
Why on earth do you want to go into coaching and management?
After last night and the scrutiny under managers, I don't know if management's the way I want to go down at this stage. I want to continue playing as long as I'm contributing on a Saturday, for as long as I possibly can. But the bigger picture is to get down the coaching, possibly the management route. But I think it's important that you can earn your stripes as a coach first and foremost before getting down the manager's route. So, like I say, I'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But you want to prepare yourself and pick up as much knowledge along the way throughout your career as a player. I try to do that as well. Now, it's hopefully as a coach moving forward as well. That's why I'm here.
You mentioned it's your first time back at the team hotel, the international setup, not playing.
Yeah.
Is it weird to be back? And how did you find these get-togethers?
I really enjoyed representing my country. I think it's the pinnacle of your career. The group that I was part of, Walter Smith brought me in, then Alex McLeish came in, George Burley then came in, Craig Levine came in. It was good times. It was obviously when you represent your country, especially with Scotland, there's some difficult times as well, some very, very good times, but the good times certainly outweigh the kind of negative experiences. It's different from certainly when predominantly I was at Celtic throughout my career as a Scotland player, so it's completely different. You're used to dominating games and winning in most weeks. So when you come with Scotland, it's a brilliant occasion, and it's great. The group's always similar to yourself, you know, very focused, determined, real, real good types. The Scottish culture's very hard working. So it's, thoroughly enjoyed my time.
Okay, we'll get more on your thoughts about the team today.
Yeah.
A little bit later in the show, Mick. In terms of the podcast, though, we move attention now to events at Easter Road last night, a 1-1 draw with Canada. I have to admit, after 10 minutes with Canada 1-up, I did start to fear for the podcast today and what kind of road it would go down. But thankfully, Stephen Naismith, the guest on the first podcast, came to the rescue. Grant, what do we take overall from the game at Easter Road, do you think, in your eyes?
Yeah, well, Gordon Strachan went into this game saying he was getting this game to try and get the feel-good factor back amongst the boys. I don't think necessarily that's achieved that, so that's a black mark in that regard. In terms of the performance, it was a chance to try new partnerships, chance to get some boys in that weren't having to get minutes at international level. Just looking at it as an observer, it looked like a bit of a disjointed performance. Pitch wasn't great at Easter Road. What do we take from into the Slovenia game? I'm not so sure. I think Gonstein said last night he's seen things that he's not going to repeat. I think he means with that what will be certain players won't get in, certain tactics as well. As an exercise, I don't think it achieved very much other than to get the team together and to get 90 minutes under the belt.
Yeah, Danny, it was difficult, wasn't it? We spoke in the first podcast about wanting maybe that kind of bright attacking performance, something to get kind of fans excited for going to Hampden on Sunday. We perhaps didn't get that, but did we get something from it? Were there certain players you think put their hand up to say, oh, maybe I can offer something?
I think so. I mean, I think the one kind of standout for me was Kitchanya at right back. Thought he did well. I mean, in a squad where we spoke the other day about how there's no out and out right backs, thought he did himself no harm. I thought as well that the two centre halves, personally, Berra and Mulgrew, I thought they coped fine. I mean, with all due respect to Canada, they weren't up against much for a lot of the game, but I thought they played well, and I would expect they're probably in the running to start as the two centre halves at the weekend. Look, Gordon Strachan said after the game himself that, as Grant says, that he kind of discovered things that he's glad he discovered now that he didn't want to discover down the road. If that's the case, then of course you would much rather it was in a friendly rather than, you know, Sunday in a qualifier.
Okay, let's hear from the Scotland manager then. This is what Gordon Strachan had to say after the 1-1 draw with Canada at Easter Road.
Well, it's I think it's one of our better decisions to have a game. It's cleared up a lot of things. It's helped a lot of players, but it's helped the coaching staff in particular to where we're going on Sunday. We learned quite a few things tonight. So it wasn't a great night. I'll not be memorable in anybody's minds at the end of my career, but it's invaluable for me just now to use that information we collected tonight for Sunday, that's for sure.
Did any of the players play their way in or out of your thoughts?
I thought a lot of players found it hard. Using a golfing analogy, it's very hard to take 2 months off golf and then go and play in the Masters. And when the conditions aren't, it's not the easiest course in the world. So it wasn't the easiest course, pitch in the world to play in the night with the conditions. And to try and find your form in an international match, a night like this, was hard. You know, and you could see we're rusty in the first 10, 15 minutes. And that spooked us for a bit. I think we could have been braver with passes through people and braver to receive it. But when you've not played a lot of games, it's very hard to just switch on and do that.
How much better will the level of performance need to be on Sunday?
Oh, need to be better. Unless we're very lucky. So we're not going to try and take luck into it. We've got to be better. It helped me a lot the night, that game. It helped us a lot. I'm sure a lot of players would like to have played a bit better, but that was the way it is, and we just have to deal with that and use that information we collected the night for the game on Sunday. So it's very hard coming to play at international level when you're no firing all cylinders at your club game to be put in the spotlight. But we needed to find that out. We needed to find that out.
What positives?
Well, I thought Charlie was okay, Ketch did fine, Tom Kearney's debut, Andy coming on did all right, Barry's touch was not bad, but I think some of us found it a wee bit difficult. You know, the professionalism of Fletcher kept us going at times. So we learnt a lot.
Has it made, Gordon, any difficult decision that you have to make for Sunday maybe a little bit more easier?
I wouldn't say easier, but clearer. I think it makes it clearer.
Yeah, the thoughts of the Scotland manager, Gordon Strachan, there, speaking after the draw with Canada last night. In terms of what he had to say, yeah, he spoke about the fact that it's been good for him. He's learnt things, he's seen things that will help the preparation for the game against Slovenia. Grant, do we sometimes get caught up in the fact that, you know, it has to be a swashbuckling performance, has to be great, has to be a win in which to learn things, or can we sometimes maybe take something from a game that doesn't go entirely our own way?
Yeah, but it's hard to take something from a game like that when, you know, it's a game played in front of fans and they're just looking for a little bit of a confidence boost after what happened towards the end of last year. I think, yeah, in the cold light of day this morning, I can see where Gordon Strachan is coming from, the things he has learned, the things we can take forward. Really, here, this Canada game is a complete irrelevancy. It doesn't matter. You know, if what it might have done to the squad is knock the confidence a little bit more. But I think if you look at it on reflection, it's all about the game on Sunday. The managers learned things from it. The fans will chalk this one down as one to forget. I think we'll all chalk it down as one to forget. As an exercise, like I said, don't think it does too much other than get 90 minutes under the belt.
Stephen, how did you find these kind of games when you were playing?
They're difficult to play in, Mark. I think the one thing that everybody has to do, I think Sunday's the big game. Sunday's the most important game. So from now, and even for the group gathered, you want to give a positive message. I think it's important that the media and everybody get behind the team for Sunday, because Sunday's the one that makes the big difference. the pitch wasn't great, the atmosphere around the place is flat, the opposition, with the greatest respect to Canada, it doesn't excite a lot of people. So in effect, it's a lose-lose situation no matter what you do in the game. If you win the game comfortably, you're not really playing against any opposition of great stature. If you draw the game, you feel deflated. If you lose the game, you feel deflated. So it's a lose-lose situation that the team found itself in. On the flip side of it, as Gordon's spoken about there, you get to see different things that in games training doesn't allow you to see. Possibly certainly the biggest thing for me was international level, you need to be playing week in, week out at club level to be on top of your game. That's the difficulty just now. There's, when you look at the centre forwards, for example, you know, there's Jordan Rhodes seems to be the only one that's playing week in, week out. That's a slight concern. But the good thing is that Stephen Fletcher, Lee Griffiths, Chris Martin, Stephen Naismith, whoever it is, Jordan Rhodes, whoever it is that plays up front, they're now experienced players. It's no young players coming in, they're experienced players, so they can manage it and hopefully perform to the levels that we know we can. Behind that, you've got a very good variation in midfield, whoever Gordon decides to play. So I still think there's a lot of positives to take, but I think as a country, you want to get behind the group for Sunday as much as you possibly can.
You know, none of us have been fortunate enough to play football at any kind of decent level. We don't know what it's like to play at that kind of scrutiny at that pace. How much does it impact on your performance when you're not playing regularly for your club?
Like I said, it's difficult to get to, because international football is the pinnacle of your football career. The tempo's quicker. You get punished a lot for mistakes. Teams are now very well organised. So it's to break teams down, we've never been blessed with world-class players. Your Ronaldo's, your Messi, who teams are judged in the final third of the pitch. That's where the best players in the world make the best decisions, the right decisions, 9 times out of 10. We're not blessed as a country with that. So we need to make sure it's a collective team effort who are playing week in, week out. I think just now, when you look at the whole group, I think the Celtic players are going to have a big impact on the game on Sunday. They're playing it as a group. They're playing at the top of their games. They're in a good place mentally. They'll be full of confidence. So I think they're going to play a key role in Sunday, because you want the more players playing at the top of their game and enjoying their football, the better. And they're the ones that will lead the group. They're the ones that will drive the team on. And then everybody else will fall in behind that. So I think that's going to be a key factor in Sunday. But also, I still believe we've got some very, very good players within the group with really good experience. Even the ones that don't play, they've got as big a part to play as anybody. When international football is about the squad, it's about a collectiveness. It's not about the 11 that play. It's about the positivity as a group. And I think with this group, they've certainly got that.
See, that's why we've got you here, for that insight, having been in this position, in this hotel, preparing for games and being in between two games like the two that Scotland faced this week. Danny, to return to the positives and things that can be taken from that, you know, Akechianya hasn't had a lot of starts for Derby of late, but he did come in, and perhaps he tied a little bit second half, but first half showed that he offers a good option, especially offensively down that right-hand side, as you touched upon. What was it that stood out particularly from his performance for you that caught your eye?
I just think, as you say, offensively is where Akechianya is probably strongest. He's got incredible pace. He can kind of worry an opposition fullback, although that's not his primary job. But I almost thought it was reassuring in a way that defensively he didn't look out of place. He's not an out and out defender, but he looked, as you know, to me anyway, quite solid. You know, I think we'd spoke about it, and it was the one area where, as I say, there isn't an out and out right back, and you kind of think, well, we're going into a must win game. But I thought he stood up and he was counted last night, and he kind of if he wasn't in the pole position to be the right back going into Sunday, I think he certainly is now.
Okay, let's hear from Akechianya. We spoke to him after the game at Easter Road.
I think it was good exercise, obviously, for the I don't want to say more important game, but obviously it's a qualifier. I think we did okay in Beach. You know, I think if we were a bit more clinical, we could have had a few more goals, but it wasn't to be, and it was a sort of a mistake on our behalf, their goal, but that's what you do at this level. You know, you make one mistake and they get a goal, but all in all, it was a worthwhile exercise.
And you operated at right back, you picked up the Man of the Match award. How do you find being utilised in defence?
No, you know, I really enjoy it. Any time that the gaffer calls upon me to play there, you know, I just try my best. I sort of improved in that position when I was at Watford because we played wing back, so I tried to improve my defensive abilities as well. Then it's not all there, but you know, little by little, I'm improving, and you know, I thought I did okay today.
A performance like that must really boost your personal confidence going into what is a massive game on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I think with this, with Gordon Strachan, I don't think personal confidence is anything to worry about. He gives us lots of confidence, you know, as an individual, as a collective, and all of us are there full of confidence. If we take our chances today, maybe we get two or three goals, and you know, we go into that game, and the public perceive us as better favourites or better. But you know, as an individual and as a collective, confidence is high in the dressing room.
You must be really looking forward to this game against Slovenia. It is a must win.
Yeah, these are the games where you go away with your national team. These are games you look forward to. You enjoy the pressure, and it's going to be a good game. And I'm confident, you know, that we can get the 3 points, and that will set us up good for the game in June against England.
As well as your Man of the Match award, tonight was your 25th appearance for Scotland. How have you enjoyed your time with the national team?
Oh, it's been brilliant. I still remember when I was at Watford, and the gaffer first contacted me if I would be interested in representing Scotland, and of course I jumped at the chance. And since that first doubleheader against Belgium and Macedonia, I still remember it like it was the other day. You know, it's been a dream to come up here. I'm really privileged to be with Gordon Strachan and his team, and long may it last.
Okay, Akechi Anya there speaking after the game with Canada. Grant, do you think he is one who has stake to claim to start on Sunday? And does he bring a certain value because he's quite popular with fans? He's a bit of one of those guys that people like seeing in the team. When they see his name on the team sheet, gives everyone a little bit of a lift going into the match.
Yeah, everyone looks at the squad and sees this kind of lack of right back. It's either him or Russell Martin coming across, and people see that necessarily as a crisis point, or that Akechi Anya's coming in and he's having to play in a position he's completely unfamiliar with. I mean, he touched on it there. He played wing back for Watford. The pace he has in his game will maybe make up for a lot of shortcomings that he admits he has defensively. And then he's able to break from that position. This is what Scotland need width in the team, especially with the forwards that they have that like to come inside. We see Alan Hutton get up the right to play balls. And Akechi Anya has got the pace and has got the ability to do so. And he's a player that excites the fans. I remember over in Slovakia, and we were just waiting for him to make that appearance. And he changed the game, although not necessarily made it a... It didn't turn the game on its head by any stretch of imagination, but just brought that bit of dynamic play to the team that it just tends to lack in certain situations. And I don't think putting him at right back is negative by any stretch of the imagination.
He was a positive. Mm-hmm. Tom Kearney, another positive.
Yeah, Stephen touched on this earlier on. A player who's got the confidence and the ability, and you put him in that team last night where maybe the confidence wasn't there with some of the boys because of not playing so many games, and he just stood out head and shoulders above the rest. It's great he's in the squad now. It's long overdue. His record in the Championship this season is ridiculously good. The goals, the assists. He's got to be in the state. He's staked a claim to get in the team for Sunday and to stay in squads going forward.
Yeah, I guess the challenge for Gordon Strachan, Danny, now is where he could accommodate him and how he would strike the balance. But he certainly showed glimpses of that creativity, a couple of passes that were sublime, especially in that first half.
The one killer pass in the lead up to the goal took the whole Canada back line out and kind of put it on a plate for Wallace to square it. I thought he was brilliant, Kearney. He looked like a really classy player. And the only surprising thing really is that, I know 26 isn't old, but only making his debut at 26, you know, it seems quite surprising. But as you quite rightly say, it's given the manager a real headache because you've got Armstrong, you've got Brown. I thought Fletcher actually did really well last night. John McGinn knocking on the door. That is the area where we are blessed, and it's just about, as you say, kind of picking the right team in the night.
Do you buy into sort of Stephen's point that you want to be trying to pick as many players who have confidence, who have that kind of belief about them to kind of carry the squad forward?
Absolutely. I think if you've got good players, if you've got quality players, try and play them. The one in my head just now that I think is going to be interesting Sunday is Kearney and Armstrong. I think a lot of people say that they're quite similar players, they play in a similar area, but they're both flying at the minute. I think if there was a way you could get them both in the starting lineup, I think it'd be a positive. But again, I'm not a football coach like the manager, so I don't know if it's possible.
Yeah, good headache for Gordon Strachan to have going into Sunday. Stephen, I wanted to get your thoughts about centre-half.
Yep.
Position you ply your trade. Internationally, generally speaking, when you played for Scotland, you lined up alongside either Gary Caldwell or David Weir. You had a bit of consistency there. How important is that? Because last night we had two centre-halves not familiar with playing with each other.
Both Charlie and Christoph, they won't be familiar with each other playing. Why is it, like you said, that if it's a first start together, but they'll be very familiar how each other, what they know what each other are good at. They know what their strengths and their weaknesses are because they've now been about the squad for a long time. So no matter what two play out of the four centre halves that are available, they'll know each other. They know each other from training. Yes, they would have liked to have played with each other a lot more, but that's just the circumstance that we find ourselves in. I think when you play in a back four, the best back fours that you'll play in, there's stability, there's continuity. You're playing with each other on a regular occurrence, whether it's at club level, whether it's at international level, but we've not got that just now, unfortunately. It doesn't mean that we can't have good performances. You've seen both Christophe and Charlie play well last night, and whoever it is comes in and plays, whether it be Christophe, Charlie, Russell Martin, Liam Cooper's come into the squad as well, whoever it is, they're players that are still performing at a good level. They're all playing in the Championship down south. So it's whoever comes in, they're very good players. They're good players. They've got different styles. They've got different traits. Christophe's very, very, very good defensively. Charlie, for example, is a lot more cultured than on the ball. So it's whoever gets a nod, I've no doubt they'll come in and do well.
Do you think that there is a logic then in Gordon Strachan trying to get some continuity there in that back line? Because it's something that people are focused on the centre-halves of late. People like to pick out something after these games. That tends to be something that's come up quite regularly.
Yeah, listen, like I say, it's important in a partnership. You know individually what your strengths are, and it's important that you know what your partner's strengths are, because then you can work together. And you, like I say, and it's important that the job, the people do in front and beside you, your fullbacks are key. You know, whoever, whether it's Kieran Tierney plays at left back, or whether it's Lee Wallace or Andrew Robertson, you know, certainly in that area you've got three very, very good players as well. So the game last night would have been a really good exercise for both Charlie and Christophe, because, like I said, the lads spoke about it, they both performed well. So whoever comes in, yes, you've not got a natural partnership where you can look at when the squad announced and says they're going to be my two centre-halves, but it's up to the individuals to when they get the opportunity to stake their claim.
Okay, yeah, good options and good food for thought for Gordon Strachan at the back. Grant, one thing I wanted to perhaps discuss in this was the delivery of Robert Snodgrass. It was again showing up last night. He's got such good dead ball delivery. Are we making enough of that in these games? Can we make more of it? Because he seems to be such a great outlet, one of the best crossers of the ball playing in the Premier League at the moment.
Well, I think it's clear to see we're not. And I was asked the questions of why not. I'd like to know what are we doing on the training ground to try and, when we have these situations, because they're few and far between in international football. You know, free kicks in good positions and corner kicks last night as well. Plenty of decent deliveries to the back stick, no one really on the end of it. I mean, it's difficult to say. It's fine to have Robert Snodgrass, one of the best dead ball specialists in the English Premier League, but it's about who he's finding and what the setup is to try and profit from that. So there's a question there over the strategy, the tactics, what they do on the training ground to try and profit from his ability.
Yeah. Danny, do you, when you see him step up and you see him deliver like he can, like he did last night at times, does that give you kind of encouragement that perhaps that's something that could be exploited a bit more?
As Grant quite rightly says, he's one of the best kind of set piece experts in Britain. There was even a moment last night when we weren't particularly playing well, Canada taking the lead, and I think he could have put just a kind of probing ball into the box and it ended up hitting the post. You know, it's always a danger, it's always going to be a worry for opposition. And again, actually, just to go back to as Stephen says about the centre halves, Charlie Mulgrew in particular, him coming in, he would always pop up at Celtic with a goal, and he can take a mean free kick himself. I think that's another positive to his, you know, to his game.
Yeah, as centre halves pinging in free kicks is always a decent thing to have in a squad. In terms of scoring and threatening from set pieces, Steve, when you were in the Scotland team, that was kind of one of the things that I think Walter Smith particularly, but also like McLeish, worked on and tried to exploit. Give us a bit of an insight. How much was that a part of the preparation for games? How much was that something that you worked with yourself, Lee McCulloch in particular?
It's massive, especially when you play for Scotland, because you're not in a lot of games you don't dominate possession. The opposition at times, if you're playing against very, very good sides, will dominate possession. So you might get three or four opportunities at goal. Three of them might be set pieces. So I think it's key that the delivery's right first and foremost. But the boys in the end of it are the ones that want to go and head the ball. You need to want to head the ball in both boxes. I think, as well, we mentioned about fullbacks going forward nowadays. Yes, it's great, but you still need to be able to stop balls coming into your box. First and foremost, can you stop the ball coming into your box? Can you have centre-halves that want to defend? They must be able to defend their penalty box. They want to throw their head in when it hurts in both boxes. the other key things in international football that's going to stop, prevent goals, but also get you a goal. And even mention what the lads are talking about there about Robert Snodgrass. Robert Snodgrass, for me, brings so much more than just set piece delivery. You know, I think that's why Ekechi Anya will play in Saturday, because what he allows to do is he naturally gives you that width on the outside, which allows Robert Snodgrass to drift into that pocket. He'll come in, he's right off the right hand side, he needs half a yard, and he'll put balls in the box. But he can only do that if Ekechi Anya gives you that width going forward. I think that's a big positive for Scotland. And like you said, if we can get somebody in the end of the crosses, then great.
When you were in the squad and you were preparing for the games, give us an idea of how much preparation was put into to preparing for free kicks, for dead ball situations. Was it something that was a drill you did at the end of sessions? Was it something that was a bespoke session for that? Or was it something the players did themselves?
No, certainly it comes from, it's organisation, it's preparation. And having known Gordon so well, he plans everything down to a tee, the way all good managers do. They'll work in set pieces, they'll work in getting in areas of the pitch where you can hurt teams. That everything from now and probably since the start of the week will be based on how do we get our best players into the most dangerous areas of the pitch to create goal scoring opportunities. Whether that be fullbacks overlapping, creating 2v1s in wider areas, wide players coming off the lines, putting balls into the box, then it's important that you get people into the box, into the penalty box. Like say, you might win corners, you might win free kicks, whatever it is, and then that's when you're working your set plays during the week.
One of the things that stood out from the game last night as well, perhaps, was the involvement of Fraser Aird, who perhaps momentarily forgot where he lives just now and went on a one-man mission to try and beat Scotland. Grant, a word on his performance and what he offered, and were we concerned at all about how often he was allowed to kind of cut in and try and get shots away?
He shouldn't have been an unknown quantity. I mean, he's such a direct player who will tie a fullback up in knots if you give him have an opportunity. I feel personally that that kind of disconnect between Wallace and Burke allowed Aird a lot of space to get a run on Lee Wallace. Lee Wallace very familiar with him, of course. We trained him plenty at Rangers over the years. I think it comes down to a lack of respect, a lack of planning, anything like that. It's just a very dynamic and direct player that caused Lee Wallace a bit of trouble on the night because he was a little bit exposed. And even when he cut inside, there seemed a little bit of uncertainty over which centre-back would come in and fill the position as well. But no, a fantastic performance, and unfortunately didn't follow his parentage to represent Scotland.
I think the thing to remember as well is that for Canada, this was a huge game to them. For people like Fraser Aird, I mean, they probably had, you know, a bit of a point to prove. He certainly played like that, like he was kind of, you know, there to prove something. Same with Scott Arfield. And Canada, they might be behind us in the rankings, but as I say, that makes it kind of more important to them. And I'm not trying to make excuses for Scotland, but that does kind of, you know, Fraser Aird, for instance, as Grant quite rightly points out, Scotland were chopping and changing that left-hand side. Fraser Aird played the entire game. You know, he was flying up and down, and he looked brilliant. Canada just appointed the new manager, and to them, it meant a lot last night. Probably more than it did to us, really.
Yeah, perhaps we sometimes get too focused on one team and not the bigger picture of the match. And there's other things at play and other things at stake for a team like Canada, new manager watching on. And of course, they've just failed to qualify for the World Cup themselves. So they're trying to get a bit of pride back and also trying to build a bit of momentum themselves. I guess one player who supporters would have been keen and glad to see start last night was Ollie Burke. It perhaps didn't work out for him. What did you make of him coming in and what we saw from the young lad? There's so much excitement around him just now because that big move and that kind of potential he's got.
I think you quite rightly say, I mean, if you take even a glance at social media, he was the one player that I think a lot of the Scotland fans wanted to see. As you say, it wasn't the greatest performance. It didn't quite work out as we would all have hoped. There was still, I think, a couple of moments in the first half where you could see his quality. There was one in particular where he burst past the left back, and it's just still very raw. I don't know what you make of it, Stephen. He's still very young, and it's going to come with age. That's it, really. I mean, the more games he plays, the more minutes he gets under his belt at this level, I'm sure he'll kind of grow into the role a wee bit. But you know, not the greatest outing, but again, flickers of hope.
Yeah, but that's again another positive from the game as well. A bit of experience under his belt. Maybe not. It's not all positive, perhaps, experience, but he'll be better for it next time he gets an involvement, Steve.
Yeah, listen, I think the one thing that people need to calm down a wee bit is how young Oliver Burke is. Physically he's got tremendous attributes, but his knowledge of the game will improve the more experience he gets, the more he picks things on board tactically, where he should be out of possession, in possession, when to step in off the line, when he go wide, play. He's got to learn to get his head up to look to link with the striker, but all that comes with age. He's 19. You know, he's got a wonderful future ahead of him, but I think it's important that the country doesn't put all the weight on his shoulders as if he's going to be the next beacon of hope and the icon of the country. I think just let him develop at his own time, and he'll be a fantastic player for the country.
What we see about Oliver Burke as well, is that Nottingham Forest, he's a maverick player. There's just a guy they let have the ball and run with it. And when he went across to Leipzig, they tried to develop him into the complete footballer. And when you play for Scotland, to have a maverick player to play 90 minutes or start a game is a little bit of a luxury, perhaps, for someone you bring off the bench.
It takes time. It takes time to develop mentally, to understand the position and the role that you're playing in your team. So everything will come in due course for him.
Okay, we're going to wrap things up just shortly. But before we do, just to get a thoughts, then, before we'll talk in detail about the Slovenia game tomorrow. But Grant, before we let you go, what do you hope we see for that game? Sunday, Hampden, it's a crucial match.
I hope we see the confidence back in the players, but I think Stephen touched on it earlier on. When the Celtic boys come into the squad, they'll really lift things because they're absolutely flying at the moment. I hope we see Stuart Armstrong. Scott Brown will come in. Kieran Tierney will probably come in at left back as well. So that'll lift a lot. Look, this is such a pivotal game. There'll be a lot of people out there who say this campaign is already dead. It doesn't really matter. That's complete nonsense. We can get a result in this game against Slovenia and we see a performance to match the result. I'm not saying the campaign's back on, but the confidence will lift, heads will be up, and that's not just amongst the squad, that's amongst the fans as well, yeah, and the manager. I just want to see a Scotland performance, a brave performance, a dynamic performance that gives us all some sort of optimism for the rest of the year.
Okay, Dan, we'll get your thoughts on the game tomorrow in detail because you're back with us. Stephen, to wrap up then, give us some words of positivity for this game, because I guess it's one of these ones where the heads need to stay up no matter how long it takes. You've been in that position, Liechtenstein, 90, yep, what, 6, 7, 8, 100 minutes, whatever it was, and you got that crucial goal, so it's, yep, remaining upbeat, positive throughout until that whistle blows.
Absolutely. Listen, I believe that Scotland will have a very good performance in Sunday. I'm looking for a performance that's going to get people excited again. You're looking for energy, for tempo in their passing, for a brave performance like the guys have said there. You know, people looking to go on the ball, you want to see tackles, you want to see people sliding in, being aggressive, playing in the front foot, you know, and hopefully, fingers crossed, everything will go well.
Okay, guys, we'll wrap up then. Some information before we go for anyone coming to the game. Bit of information in terms of travel. The Scottish FA have laid on free bus travel to and from Hampden from Buchanan Bus Station. Buses will run from Buchanan Street Station to Carmunnock Road near King's Park. That's from 4 till 6.50 pre-match, and 9.50 and 10.30 post-match. Also, tickets for those buses, first come, first serve basis. Sadly, no bevy allowed on them, so leave your drinks to one side. Tickets still available for the game on Sunday as well, available at tickets.scottishfa.co.uk until 11.59pm on Saturday, and in person on the day from the Porter Gabbins from 10am in and around Hampden. From Grant, from Danny, from Stephen, thanks for your time today. Thanks for joining us. Stephen, all the very best with the pro license.
Thank you.
Hope you gain plenty from today's session. We are back to preview the game with Slovenia tomorrow. We hope you join us then.
Cooper comes up, hits it.
Yeah!
Oh, what a goal! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fernand!
Doug Leach